hit 4 o'clock on this incredibly busy Monday. I would argue the craziest Monday maybe in the history of New York sports, when you've got the Yankees and the Mets both playing league championship series games. You're on the heels of a giant loss. You've got a New York Jet Monday night game that's the most important game they've played in 9 years. And who could forget, the Rangers and the Islanders play tonight, and the Devils have been playing this afternoon. This is one of the craziest days in New York sports, and we're celebrating with you. We're hanging with you live from American Dream. Our broadcast today brought to you by the New Jersey Hall of Fame here at American Dream and Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Sunshine in a Can. Before the Mets throw their first pitch, and I will do my best job of being very calm and talking about everything else other than the Mets, unless we have to provide updates. Do you have a prediction on how Game 2 goes today?
Yes.
The entirety of the game will be live on the air.
Sean Manaea pitches 6 innings, giving up 1 run.
Yeah.
6 strikeouts.
Yes.
The Mets win the game 3-1.
So they sweat it out.
Yep.
They sweat it out, but the Mets even up this series at 1.
Yes.
All right, positive Tommy, how much do the Mets win by today?
The Mets will win 7-1. The Tribal Chief will pitch 7 innings of 1 run ball.
All right. Now I know where this is going. Sean Morash, what do you think happens today?
Manaea pitches great. Edwin Diaz blows a save. Mets lose 6-5.
I can't deal with that.
Truth hurts.
I cannot deal with that.
Why is it Edwin Diaz blowing a save every single
Because he's eventually going to blow one, and then I'm going to come on the radio the next day and go, I told you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's his logic.
I know, right? Yeah, eventually, so it's got to be true.
Since we're 5 minutes before first pitch, I want to be honest with you. I never want to lie to you. I want to tell you how I honestly feel. I'm expecting doom right now. I really am.
Why?
I just got a sick feeling. It's an afternoon. It's L.A. It's just Joe Davis is on the call.
Enough with Joe Davis.
Schultz is there. I just got this bad feeling that the Mets are going to struggle against the Dodger bullpen.
Who did A-Rod and Big Poppy and Jeets pick?
Yeah, I actually know this answer, and I shouldn't. But basically, Jeter and Poppy have been locked together that the Dodgers are going to win this series. So they both predicted L.A. would win this series and L.A. would win Game 2. A-Rod, who grew up as a Met fan, picked the Mets to win the series and did pick the Mets to win Game 2.
A-Rod's unbelievable.
He's something else.
He's
man.
Pandering. Al from Miami.
He really is. And the truth is, like, it doesn't make me love him anymore. I'd probably rather everybody just pick the Dodgers. Maybe that would make me feel better. Because then it's like the us versus the world mentality.
It's that way anyways, isn't it?
For the most part. I think nationally, for the most part, people are picking the Dodgers.
Are nationally people jumping on the Mets bandwagon because of how amazing it's been?
Well, I think to a degree, but I think the Dodgers, look, the Dodgers go out every year and they win more games than anybody.
Of course.
They do it on a yearly basis.
And it's full of stars. It's star power.
And this year they feel more flawed than other years.
Despite more stars.
And well, because they're pitching, because the starting pitching doesn't leave a lot to be desired. You know, Jack Flaherty was great yesterday, but Jack Flaherty wasn't very good in his first postseason start. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you don't know what you're going to get. So I think that people pick the Dodgers despite them not maybe being as perfect as they were the last couple of years when they've had early postseason exits. You know, this year, maybe as a kind of less perfect team, they'll go out and win a championship. We shall see. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Mets better score a run in the first inning. If they go down weakly to Ryan Brazier in the first inning, I'm warning you, Tiki, get the vodka red. What is this? That's
Surfside.
Right, Surfside.
Yes.
I'm glad it's sitting right in front of me.
It is sunshine in a can.
Because I'm going to need this a lot if they don't score on Ryan Brazier in the first inning.
Are we allowed to drink vodka on radio?
It's sitting right in front of me.
I know we can't do it on TV.
They're one of the great sponsors here at WFAN. Oh, hell yeah!
Come get some Surfsides at Dream Bar here.
I mean, everybody else in this place is drinking.
That's right. It can't just be us not drinking. All right, let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tony, who's calling from Lyndhurst. How are you, Tony?
What up, Tony?
I'm here.
We can't hear you very well. I'll give you one more try. Try to make your point. I apologize.
Start again.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead.
All right, good. All right. Just a quick question. What is Tommy DeVito's record in Giant Stadium?
You want me to look that up?
Nothing and nothing.
Yeah, please.
He got demolished.
He's talking about MetLife. Stop being a jerk. Come on, Sean.
Not the first game where he didn't throw anything, but, you know, his record.
Well,
I know
he won
three games.
He won one because I was at it. So I'm going to say
No, he beat the Patriots.
One and two.
Beat the Patriots. Yeah.
So two. So he won two.
Yeah, I think he's 2-0 there, wasn't he?
Yeah, looking at his career numbers, we're going to throw the Jet game out. He beat the Patriots 1-0. He beat the Packers 2-0.
That's the one I was at.
And he played very briefly in the Philly game. So the answer to your question is 2-0.
Uh-oh.
What's your point?
2-0.
Yeah.
I'm getting to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones' record at home and away is stunning.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's ever been done, but have teams ever had one quarterback in one game and another quarterback in another?
Yes, they do, Tony. It's called college football. It's not happening in the NFL.
Yeah, forget the Tommy DeVito thing because it's a very small sample size of only two games. Give him credit for playing well at home. I don't take anything away from him, but the question I do have, and I brought this up to you on Friday, so this is not the first time we're talking about this, and I asked this for you specifically on Friday. Why is Daniel Jones so much worse at MetLife Stadium? The numbers are the numbers. Like, he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns at MetLife Stadium, and yet his road numbers are very, very good.
I wish I had an easy answer for you. I wish there was something statistically that stood out. I wish there was something on tape that stood out and told me exactly what the answer to that is. But I can't tell you because I don't know.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. In theory, it's always easier at home because you have the support of the home crowd. Maybe it's the pressure. Maybe he's afraid to get booed if something bad happens. But he doesn't seem like that kind of kid, so I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
It stinks because had they had Malik Nabers last night, he probably looks a lot better and they win the game.
Right, but that's one game. Overall, the numbers are the numbers.
But
why?
But he looked great in Seattle.
I know.
And he didn't have Malik Nabers.
The lights come on. He knows everybody's watching him, and he just overthinks. I that's the only other solution I have for it. It's frustrating. And by the way, he should be thankful that he played last night. Could you imagine him playing tonight? I mean, look at the way these flags are whipping right now.
Yeah, it's a very windy day.
I have been at MetLife Stadium a ton. I don't remember the flags ever whipping like this in a parking lot before the game. He would freeze. So let's see what Ayahuasca Prize Party does tonight.
Tommy DeVito, 1-0 in primetime, by the way. And Kurt Warner and Matt Leinart did a platoon. Do you guys remember that? Where Leinart would start the game, and then Kurt Warner would come in. So maybe he's onto something. Daniel Jones start the game, and then Tommy DeVito comes in to win the game.
Tommy's not even the backup. Like,
that's true lock, please.
I'm just saying. I don't think that there's anything you can do about it as of right now.
No.
But it is an alarming thing.
It is.
It's one of, like, sometimes stats just don't make a lot of sense, and they're interesting, and you talk about it, and you digest it, and then the answer is, it doesn't mean anything. This clearly means something. So the question is,
So does the primetime record. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. The next worst record since 1970 is Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton was 6-21. In primetime.
Right.
Daniel Jones is 1-14 in primetime.
So it's putting pressure on himself. It's what you talked about, why he struggles at home.
It must be.
And it's all connected to why he hasn't been a good primetime quarterback.
Right. And I don't know how that manifests itself on 3rd-and-2 from the 30-yard line or whatever it may be. I don't know how it does, but it always seems to be in those moments where he needs to make a play that he doesn't.
Yeah.
And it really highlights itself in primetime.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything you can do about it. So I respect a guy calling up on a beautiful Monday afternoon saying, I got the idea no one's talked about. Let's platoon him with Tommy DeVito. I don't think there's anything you can do about it. But it sucks. And it's just another reminder. It's another example on why he's just not the answer. Like, he's the quarterback because he's their best option.
Well, we talked about this before the season started. And the only way that Daniel Jones becomes the long-term solution for the Giants is if he has a great season.
But that's not happening.
Right. And it's almost already too late for him to have a great season. Unless they go on a run, they win, I don't know, 8 games in a row, and all of a sudden he looks like a top-10 quarterback.
But even then, we're going to credit the defense and say he's not having a great season.
You're right. Unless they start scoring 30 points a game, Daniel Jones is... Look, future seems destined already.
Honestly, we know what the path is here for the Giants. They can still compete. They still could be a playoff team, by the way. The next stretch of games are winnable. It's going to come down to their defense and Jones not turning the ball over left and right. But in the end, I think the decision has to be made and already has to be made. Figure out what the difference is at quarterback next offseason.
Let's go to Jim up in Albany. How are you today, Jimmy?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thank you for taking my phone call. Hey, first, it's a great time to be a New York sports fan. And, you know, like the Mets are playing and, you know, the Yankees. And I want to give my props to both teams for going this far. They're doing awesome. And I think we're going to see some great things out of both New York teams. And as far as the Giants are concerned, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is like a Heckle and Jekyll. The guy's great at times, and he's not so good at sometimes. But I think they're going to give him one more game. It's going to be the Philadelphia game at home. And I think Jones is going to show up. He's going to play a great game. And, you know, the defense, we know how good the Giants' defense is. We're seeing it. They play probably the number one offense in the NFL, maybe the number two offense in the NFL. Played great. The defensive players played awesome. Jones, actually, I think he played, he was a little, you know, he played a little sticky there. He
well, he's just tentative. The problem with Daniel Jones is that he's tentative, and he thinks, and he doesn't react in moments when he needs to. And so he's late on stuff.
Right.
I keep saying it. He's late. The fourth down throw that we were just talking about right after halftime, he makes a quick late decision on what needs to be a quick throw. And so it gets broken up. Now, if he wants to hold the ball, he throws it to the tight end who's running down the middle of the field in zone, and he has a big play. But like the decisions aren't happening fast
enough
for him.
But also, Jim made the point, I'll give him one more game. One more game and then what?
Yeah, not going to do anything, right.
Like, if you were saying, I'm going to give him one more game and then I decide he's not the answer. Okay. I think most of us have already decided he's not the answer.
But he still gives you the best chance to win.
And it's not remotely close. That's the other problem. That's why I get how frustrating it is. You know how I know how frustrating it is? I've lived it. Like, I've watched a football team over the last couple of years specifically that talent-wise, I say, wow, we're pretty good. Wow, we're not that far away.
Right.
We're a quote-unquote quarterback away. That's the way it has felt for a very long time.
Get up!
All right, I'm going to try to describe it. I'm the calm one around here. I said nothing. The crowd's reacting.
This is a great job by Evan Roberts.
All right, can I respond now? Francisco Lindor has hit a leadoff home run. We have to have a conversation, okay?
All right.
You guys, I know, this is awesome. OMG, baby!
MVP, they're chanting.
MVP! MVP! I have been lectured, no play-by-play, be calm. The Mets saying, we have it on, we're having a good time. And this crowd, I love you people. You disgustingly awesome people.
That's exactly what you called
for, Adam. They roared on a Lindor home run.
Scored in the first inning.
I'm just little old me's trying to break down Daniel Jones.
And a woman has an OMG sign she was lifting in the air. It is pandemonium at the Dream Bar.
All right, so we got to make a plan. What should we do now around this Met game if we're going to get loud crowd reactions for everything that happens?
I hope they're as loud when Diaz comes in and runners are off.
Hey, don't be a jerk. I will try that. Now,
he's just staying true to his prediction. It's what he predicted.
But I got to give updates now, Teak. I'm sorry. I got to do pseudo play-by-play.
You can do updates. Just don't. We're talking about other things other than the Mets right now.
I was talking about Daniel Jones.
You know what? Maybe this is the turn of Daniel Jones' season. You're talking about him. Lindor homers. The good mojo's there.
Okay, fine. I forgot what my Daniel Jones point was, but it was a great at-bat by Francisco Lindor. Vientos followed it up by lining out to right field.
That what you just did there, that was play-by-play.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. They didn't even catch the ball yet. They said something.
On radio, they had already caught the ball.
Sean, I think by the letter of the law, that
we're
was
we're streaming in here, Teak.
Yeah, so we're delayed.
We're delayed.
Anyhow, right. Lindor had a great first at-bat. He fouled a few pitches off, including one that went off his leg. And then finally, I think it was the eighth pitch of the at-bat, he got a 2-2 from Ryan Brazier and absolutely destroyed it over the right field fence. That was very, very important. And look, Met history is littered with the important leadoff home run.
Right.
You want some examples? I'm going to give it to you anyway. So please say yes.
Okay, sure.
Len Dykstra against the Red Sox in the World Series. You guys like that? You think I'm young? I may be young, but I know that crap. I'll give you another one that's very underrated. They won the game, but they didn't win the series. Jose Reyes, first inning of Game 6 of the 2006 NLCS, hit a home run to set the tone. So Dykstra in 86, Reyes in 2006. Now, hopefully, if this turns into something good for the Mets and they can win this game, they got a long way to go, maybe we'll look back at the MVP Francisco Lindor hitting a leadoff home run off Ryan Brazier to give them an early 1-0 lead. Now, can I finish my Daniel Jones point?
Yeah, go ahead.
No? If you
remember your Daniel Jones point, 3 seconds ago you had forgotten it.
Hold on a second. Let me just get it into my brain. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I got it now. Okay. I got it now. It was actually a Daniel Jones, I'm a Jet fan, I know how you feel point. Do you like that when I show compassion?
Okay.
You like that, Sean?
Except I think it's going to be an insult, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's never a good tee up.
I know.
It's actually not. And
If you remember back at the beginning of the season, when we were having conversations about the Giants, like what kind of year they're going to have, I don't know if you remember what I said. But I said, I think you guys will be decent, and you will go into the offseason saying, we're good and we're close, but we're a quarterback away.
Yes.
I feel very good about my predictions.
Right. No, by the way, you're right on it, because that's exactly how this team feels. They have all the defensive studs they need, and especially if the secondary, these young corners and safeties, start to play a little bit better.
Brandon Nimmo drew a one-out walk, which is why people are excited. So one-on-one out for Pete Alonso. Go ahead, T.
Play-by-play. Then you have a secondary that has it's playing at the same level as the second and the first levels. Other than your defense is really damn good. And offensively, you got another offseason to add a skill position player. So I'm talking end of season.
Yeah.
And the only thing you're going to be doubting is your quarterback.
Yeah, right. And Neighbors and Tracy are dogs on the offense.
Right.
But what you have to do in the meantime is you have to make decisions based on what gives you the better chance to win week to week.
Right. And honestly, that's still Daniel Jones.
So what Giant fans need to do is forget about the big picture. We get it. He's not the answer long term. Everybody agrees. All right. The debate is basically over for the most part. But you're making a decision on a week-to-week basis. And right now, it's not particularly close. As flawed as he is, he gives him the best chance to win.
Right. Despite Tommy believing it's Tommy DeVito.
That's right. And he's not the only one.
I know.
There's plenty of Giant fans out there who think that Tommy DeVito's got some magic. By the way, speaking of Tommy DeVito and the Mets, when Pete Alonso hit that home run against the Brewers. He did, and now he grounded into a double play, by the way, so the first thing is over. Didn't he do, like, the Tommy DeVito thing with his hands?
No, I think he did the kissing thing.
Oh, is that what it was?
Right.
Mwah.
Yeah,
mwah.
Like, mwah.
He did the chef's kiss, where Tommy DeVito does more like,
about it. Gotcha. I'm trying to understand the differences. Either way, Mets have a 1-0 lead going to the bottom of the first inning, so they do get a run off Ryan Brazier. The Dodgers had a lefty warming up in the bullpen. It's going to be a bullpen day for the Dodgers, and now Sean Manaea takes the hill with a 1-0 lead. Let's go to Charles calling from Hillside. How are you, Charles?
How you doing today, folks? Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Pleasure, man. Thanks for calling.
Right. What's up, pal?
No doubt. Got a few questions. First, tonight we're playing the second game on the MetLife surface in the last 24 hours after the Giant game last night. Same thing happened week one of last year with Giants Cowboys and then having the Monday night game last year. And then, secondly,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
The inefficiency of the Giants' offense last night on special teams, do you think there was any opportunity for any fakes for punt or field goal?
I mean, that's too deep of a thought. I don't think there was. Maybe he could have. But they went for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, they didn't need to fake
it. And when they attempted the game-tying field goal, you literally thought Greg Joseph would make a field goal and tie the game up. I don't think you're trying trickery.
Right. It was a sub-50-yard field goal. It felt like it was a no-brainer.
His question about the turf is a good one. Let me frame it for you. Is it more dangerous playing on field turf that's roundly criticized by everybody when it's two games in a row?
I don't think so. I think the turf is the turf. It doesn't change. The biggest issue with the field turf is the shoes these guys are wearing. I've said this to you guys before we started the show a couple of weeks ago. At some point, there's going to be an issue with the shoes. It's going to be talked about.
Right.
There's a reason that so many guys are having calf injuries and Achilles injuries where we used to never hear about it in the NFL. Now you hear about it every week. But the shoes are what's the issue. And for guys that are sliding and slipping around, like Tyrone Tracy did on that third and one, which set up a 4th and 2, it's because they're wearing these molded bottoms. So it's not a cleat. Like, it's not a screw-in cleat. When I was playing, I used to wear the screw-ins, even on turf, just because it would give you traction no matter what. The molded ones, they slide.
Right.
So if you plant incorrectly, so inside foot when you're trying to cut – to say you're right, you plant your inside foot, you're going to slide right out. That's what happened to Tyrone Tracy. And so the shoes have a lot to do with it. Shoe choice has a ton to do with whether or not the turf affects you or not.
We will continue to keep you posted on the Mets. They're up 1-0 going to the bottom of the first inning. And Yankee fans, you have an ALCS home game tonight. And the Yankees made a big decision on their roster, which we'll discuss when we come back. Toll-free number is 888 888- 808-1019. Plus, we got plenty of Jets to get to. This is the most important game they've played in 9 years. What do they have to do to upset or minor upset of the Buffalo Bills? A lot to talk about. We're live here from American Dream, presented by the New Jersey Hall of Fame at American Dream and Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, sunshine in a can. We are live from beautiful American Dream. We're at the Dream Bar. We're all hanging out, getting set for a big night in sports and also enjoying sports because the Mets and the Dodgers are heavily involved in Game 2 of the National League Championship Series. Mets have an early 1-0 lead on a Francisco Lindor home run. They are rallying. They've got two on and nobody out. I would have said, Tiki, I would bunt with Jose Iglesias, especially the way he's been hitting lately. He was swinging at the first pitch.
I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're doing and focus on it because these two behind us are acting like fools playing laser tag.
It's
right
part
now.
Of the.
Come on, it's fun.
It's part of the attractive, immersive experience here at American
Dream. Can you get a vest that fits?
Look, they haven't made one yet.
Look, they don't make 5X, but that's okay. It's still fun. So
well,
this should be great.
We have our own treats. They're playing laser tag. We have these beautiful milkshakes that I've never seen before. They're like cake in a milkshake.
Oh.
And they're inspired by Hasbro. They're the game room powered by Hasbro, which is a very cool place around here. And they've got these game-inspired milkshakes. So I'm going for the red velvet.
Nice.
And I very much enjoy it.
I have the princess lolly right now.
Princess lolly.
My daughters will love this.
Yeah, seriously.
I got one with brownie chocolate cake. I tell you, this milkshake does bring all the boys to the yard.
That brownie one, that was the debate I had. I was debating between the brownie one and the red velvet one. But unlike you guys, they're doing it now right here at the table. I have mine far away because I got to keep my scoreboard clean.
You're unbelievable.
It's going to melt.
Well, I'm going to do it during commercial breaks. I'm a multitasking kind of guy. During our last commercial break, not only were we having the milkshakes, Tiki and I were taking pictures. And what was I doing while we were taking pictures?
You were scoring while taking pictures.
That's right. But and I was still saying hi to everybody.
The problem with taking pictures, like multitasking in that way, is that you get confused by what's actually happening on the screen.
Oh, I'm not confused.
Because Sean Manaea gave up a routine fly ball to center field. Can of corn.
To Freddie Freeman, yeah.
To Freddie Freeman. You're like, oh, no. Oh, my God. Wait.
Let me defend myself on that, okay? And I think you'll understand this. I know Loogie will. You guys may not fully. Freddie Freeman has haunted my dreams for years.
Okay, but that was clearly a fly ball to center field.
I understand, but there's that split second when a guy swings when you're watching a game on TV, and you don't know if that's going 400 feet or if it's going to be a pop-up to short right field.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the initial fearful reaction to that Freddie Freeman uppercut that he has. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, once they flashed to the outfield, it was a medium kind of depth fly ball to right field caught by Starling Marte. But, yes, I had the fear of God poked into me when Freddie took that swing.
No faith. You have little faith.
Well, listen, I've been battered. What can I tell you? Now, before we get back to your telephone calls, before we talk more about this Met-Dodger game, let me get a couple of things on the Yankees that are very, very important. And as we get closer to first pitch, we'll go more in depth on the Yankees. But they made a very important roster decision today. They made two roster changes that are worthy of talking about. Remember, they only carried 11 pitchers during their previous round because of all the off days. They didn't need to carry as many pitchers. So they've taken two position players off their roster, two guys who never played and are pretty irrelevant. Duke Ellis, who is a pinch runner extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Tyrone Taylor has lined one into the left field corner. Starling Marte has scored. Jesse Winker, who today doesn't have his head up completely up his ass, stopped at third base. And the New York Mets take a 2-0 lead behind in the count. Tyrone Taylor rips one into the left field corner. What up? All right. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So the Yankees made two roster changes. They took Duke Ellis off the roster. By the way, how many people, if you raise your hand, I only want to hear from Yankee fans, ever heard of Duke Ellis? Are you familiar with Duke Ellis? Oh, that guy did. All right.
Is that a singer?
I'm going to tell you something crazy. He's not only a singer, he actually was on the Met roster earlier this season. The Mets claimed Duke Ellis off of waivers at one point. But anyhow, Duke Ellis was there literally just to be a pinch runner, and I think they used him maybe once.
They did for Stanton way too early.
That's right. So he's off the roster, and then they took Ben Rice off the roster. The two guys that they've added, one is a pitcher. You may have heard of him. His name is Marcus Stroman. I don't know what Stroh can do out of the bullpen. I doubt he's making a start, but out of the bullpen. But it's a guy who has postseason experience.
Yep.
And you're going to need more arms. In a series like this, best of seven, less off days than you had in that division series, they clearly needed another arm, so why not Marcus Stroman? But the big story is they added Anthony Rizzo back to the roster, and it is my understanding, Sean, can you confirm, Anthony Rizzo is in the lineup tonight for the Fighting Yanks.
Yes, we will do the full lineup in a bit, but Anthony Rizzo will bat eighth today and play first base.
Oh, interesting.
And he told reporters it is all about a pain tolerance issue. There's also another move happening at Yankee Stadium tonight that's just as big as Anthony Rizzo. Are you aware, Evan Roberts?
At Yankee Stadium tonight, a
yep.
move not quite as big as Rizzo, or you said bigger?
I think bigger.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. The Dodgers made an interesting choice. They intentionally walked Lindor with second and third two outs. So an early critical moment in this game. Bases loaded, two out for Mark Vientos, who does not have good career numbers with the bases loaded. This is a spot where the Mets could blow the game open right now in the second inning, or the Dodgers could keep this thing nice and tidy in a 2-0 game here in the second inning. We'll keep you posted. Anyhow, what's the big story?
All right, so we have a packed dream bar of people going to the Jet game. I think it's fair to say if we called Slippery Pete, the Jets will get a better rating than the Yankees tonight, you think?
Yeah, I think the Jets will have more viewers.
Baseball and the Yankees are attempting to draw more viewers away from football. Tonight at Yankee Stadium, the Prince and Princess of America, Travis Kelce, and Taylor Swift will be in attendance at Yankees Game 1 with the Guardians tonight.
What? Why? I find that to be, I got to tell you, I think that's disrespectful.
Why?
That's Travis Kelce, you know whatting all over the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills, and I don't like it.
Huh.
I don't like it. You're a football player.
But Aaron Boone said this, so it's not...
Why would Aaron Boone lie?
It's not Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift announcing this
on
social media.
Aaron Boone broke the story that Travis Kelce and Tay-Tay...
Aaron Boone said, this is a quote, I don't know who this is.
From Chris Kirschner.
Chris Kirschner. Aaron Boone said he had heard that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce will be in attendance at Yankee Stadium tonight.
Yeah.
So,
good for them.
Trying to get the Swifties to tune in.
Do you think the rating will actually be higher because the Swifties are going to be here?
Absolutely
she's at a Yankee game? And here's the real question. How often does TBS flash to them?
Oh, plenty. There's a football game on tonight. They will flash them in the first inning and try to draw the Swifties over to watch a little baseball.
But what do they respond to? Like, is Trevor and...
Travis
and Taylor... I mixed them together. Travis and Taylor's Trevor. Are they going to react to good things for the Yankees or good things for the Guardians?
I think everything's on the table.
I would say Yankees. They're probably invited by the Yankees.
Yeah.
So Yankee fans.
That's a good point.
Really?
So they're
and
probably
she does that
be...
Welcome to New York song. Yeah.
But that's... That's weak. That feels weak. If the Yankees did this.
Also, if you're Kelce, the Yankees just beat Kansas City.
What are the fans
thinking about that?
That's a great point.
That is a good point.
Right. Who are you rooting for?
I don't think
are they there to root against the Yankees?
Nah, because you're the Cleveland Guardians are a division rival.
I can't be
rooting for them.
Pat Mahomes is just screaming in the Royals, the booth up there.
I think they're going to have to go neutral. I think they're going to have to be
completely
neutral.
What's the point of going to a game neutral?
To games all the time neutral.
Yeah, but it's my job. I get paid to go to games neutral.
But you go to a neutral game if you had the opportunity. By the way, this is a moment in which I'm not going to do play-by-play, but here's what I'll say. The bases are loaded with two outs. The Mets are up 2-0, and there's a 3-2 count on Mark Vientos, okay? So here's how I'm going to handle it.
Right.
Will not be play-by-play. I'm going to react to what happens. And the crowd here at beautiful Dream Bar will react too. Well, first there's a foul ball, so they don't react to that very well. it's gonna be like 9 foul balls in a row.
Right, they're already into their second pitcher?
Yeah, this is Landon Knack, who actually can go deep, but he's already thrown 8 pitches in this at-bat to Mark Vientos. It's not really about working the pitch count on guys. It's really just about taking advantage of these relievers.
Yeah.
They were able to score a run on the first off Ryan Brazier, and now with the bases loaded and 2 out, they're trying to add off Landon Knack, and Mark Vientos ends up hitting one to very deep center field. A grand slam home run by Mark Vientos! Yeah. Holy crap! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Wow!
And the New York Mets have taken a 6-0 lead!
Wow!
Yes, give me a high five! Yeah, you go. You over here, give me a high five!
Pandemonium at the Dream Bar!
Tommy, let me hump your leg! Get over here!
All right, drinks are on Evan! Let's meet at the bar next
you a high five. That's
drinks
right.
Drinks are on Evan.
Either that or shakes from the game room at Hasbro because they're delicious.
Yes.
Hasbro.
All right, everybody, let's calm
Hasbro.
Down.
Yeah. Hasbro.
Let's calm down. Yeah. We have a very serious radio show to be doing right now.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? There's no chance you're doing a serious radio show.
By the way, I guess that reliever didn't have a knack for getting out of jams, huh?
I like it, Sean. Nobody laughed. I thought it was great.
The crowd groaned at you. That's
it was
sure.
great, though.
His name's Knack.
It is.
Come on.
Look, this is what the Mets
you're
need.
Using my hate material here.
I said this to you earlier before the game started. They needed to respond.
Right.
They needed to jump all over this Dodger bullpen. And I think I said 5 runs in the first inning. I didn't get 5 in the first inning, but the Mets put up 2 in the first inning, or 1 in the first inning, and now they've scored 5 in the second inning.
Yeah.
They have a 6-0 lead on a grand slam home run by Mark Vientos. Anyhow, back to the Yanks. So I think Rizzo coming back is incredibly important. And I want to commend John Birdie and you, Sean, because Sean was arguing about Birdie at first base, and I was like, come on, dude, the guy's never played first base before.
Yep.
What do you expect from him? He actually looked really good defensively.
Yeah.
And so defense to me is the most important thing I'm pumped up about if I'm a Yankee fan with Rizzo. And then whatever you get offensively, like, of course, you hope. He's a champion. The guy won a World Series before. You know the moment's not going to be too
but
big
I think
for
that's the key, is that Rizzo's been there before. He's a veteran. This allows Aaron Boone to do what he likes to do most, which is rely on veterans who have had experience in these moments to do what they're supposed to do, do what they're brought there, paid to do. So there's no negative with Rizzo other than potentially not hitting. But
I think it's great, and even if he doesn't hit, you know he's going to be sturdy defensively.
Right.
And that's why I mentioned this. I think it was right before the playoffs started. I said, I know it's a pain tolerance issue, and I'm not going to question him for not being tough, but can't you just go out there, put your glove on, and be a lead-inning defensive replacement? Like, I thought there was a value in Anthony Rizzo just coming into games and providing great defense. And now he's going to start. So that's a very, very big move for the Yankees. It moves John Birdie back to the bench. It moves Oswaldo Cabrera to the bench. And the Yankee lineup just feels different with Anthony Rizzo in it.
Yeah, and this is the reason Anthony Rizzo's here. He's won a World Series. Let's go. Use his veteran leadership. Power us through.
Yeah, I felt that like a couple of years ago. I felt like Anthony Rizzo was the guy I trusted the most, mainly because of that resume, because of the fact that this guy not only won a World Championship, he was on a roster that broke the most intimidating curse in the history of sports. So it's a huge plus to get Anthony Rizzo back. More on tonight's game coming up in a little bit. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Yorktown. What's up, Joe?
Hi, how we doing, guys? Big fan.
Thank you, man.
I just want to say, do you think Aaron Judge is going to finally have his postseason moment this season, this series against the Indians? And do you think that Aaron Rodgers is going to wake up and finally get back on track for the Jets?
Well, we should talk about the Jets coming up because this parking lot's starting to fill up. And look, Aaron Rodgers is having a different play caller now. Even though Nate Hackett is still there contributing, whatever it is he's being asked to do. But Todd Downing is calling plays this evening for the New York Jets. Now, what you start to hear is that a lot of the play calls are going to be specifically to protect Aaron Rodgers. That means extra tight ends. That means running back staying in. So it's not going to feel as wide open as it did earlier on this season when Aaron Rodgers was just standing back there, flinging the ball around, making adjustments at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be a lot more protective of him. The question is, will it work? And I don't know.
Yeah, to the Judge point, I am a believer that great players will eventually show their greatness if you give them enough opportunities.
Right. Just say yes.
When we make our predictions on this Cleveland Guardian series, I have this urge. It's so funny with the Cleveland Indians. Like, I can't get that name out of my head. Yeah, with Washington, it was much easier.
Right.
With the Washington Bullets, it was much easier. I do believe that Aaron Judge will have that moment now because he's close. And the Yankees are in the ALCS in a series that I do think they're going to win, which we'll get into more coming up. And you said the Jets? Well, we're about to be joined by two legendary Jets to talk more about this game tonight and everything about this team moving forward. Two great players from yesteryear, my era of growing up, the great Wayne Krabet, the great Lavernius Coles, who I apologize, I'm over for leaving us to go to Washington for 2 years that I try to forget. Lavernius and Wayne Krabet stop by. We'll have more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And more fun, come hang out, especially if you're heading over to MetLife Stadium or right across the street at American Dream. And I got great news. The parking lot looks completely packed, but you can come by here, watch the game with us, I'll buy you a drink. Actually, Loogie will buy you a drink, and we'll all hang out live from American Dream here on WFAN.